to Mr. Moralia. Greg Moralia is currently the Dean of Criminal Justice Training Center at Napa Valley College. He's worked in law enforcement since the age of 15 and rose to the rank of deputy chief. Greg has also been teaching at the Police Academy in Napa for 30 years. He serves on the board of the Matthew Shepard Foundation and is host and producer of the Outbeat News program on the station KRCB in Northern California. And his the second edition of his book, Coming Out from Behind the Badge, is now available. And you can find more information about that on comingoutfrombehindthebadge.com. Please welcome to the program Greg Moralia. Greg.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Greg. And thanks for being with us today.
And you can
wow, you got a lot of applause. Look at that. And you don't even clap that loud for us.
Your Twitter is at Greg Moralia, and that's let me make sure I spell it right. I want to make sure I spell it right. MIRAGLIA. So that's
perfect.
You can also go to comingoutfrombehindthebadge.com.
Now, Greg, I want to start today because I find it fascinating, and I read some of the materials you sent me. I would think that a book like this, which tells the stories of LGBT individuals on police forces, I would think this would be required training all over the country. What was the genesis for writing a book like this?
Well, I agree with you. I would love it for it to be required training throughout the country. But when I first started writing, and we first put the book out in 2007, it was the first of its kind that I knew of that talked about positive stories of success from LGBT officers. Everything that had been written to date were stories of tragedy, officers being outed and then fired, horrible cases of discrimination. And so if I was a young gay cop or a gay person who wanted to be a cop, and I read those stories, it would totally discourage me from getting into the field. So we really wanted to highlight some positive stories to show young people in particular, but also closeted officers, that you can be out in today's law enforcement world and be successful.
And I think that's incredible. I mean, the one thing I through reading through the materials was also about how this can help in LGBT harassment on the force, but also how that trickles down onto the street in terms of LGBT targeting as well, right? Oh, do we lose you? Oh, no. Okay, we're having technical issues. There he is.
They showed that homophobia was pervasive within law enforcement. And then just recently, this last year, 2015, they published a study that showed that homophobia is pervasive externally in law enforcement's relationship with the community. So we have a lot of work to do in law enforcement to educate officers on how to understand and better interact with LGBT folks.
What is the when you first put this book out and brought it to organizations, police forces, was there a positive reaction to integrating that into training? Have you had positive reactions with regards to any training that you have done? How has it been received?
Well, I would say today everything's been very, very positive, though we're just now starting to see some interest by departments in looking at doing some training. Most of the feedback I've gotten has been from individuals who have found the book and who have read it and have been inspired by the stories and have come out. And my original goal was, if I could just hear from one officer who was closeted like I was and was able to come out because of the courage that they gained from reading about others, that I'd be happy. And I heard from officers from around the country, and it was very positive. Now we're finally starting to see some interest by departments in bringing training in. So, for example, the Oakland Police Department up here in Northern California, they've been criticized a lot for their struggles with their relationship with their community. They're now having a team from our group come in and do training in their academy, 4 hours on LGBT awareness.
Wow.
So it's just beginning, and it needs to be throughout the country.
This goes to your point of saying that, you know, in the introduction of your book, it's like, you know, that the law enforcement is 20 years behind the rest of society in its acceptance and understanding of diversity. And that's unfortunate because you would think that they should be 20 years ahead in terms of protecting and enforcing laws to that treat people equally under the law. And I think that's what's fascinating. What I also love is that this is kind of it's not only a wonderful collection of stories, like you said, that inspire through stories, which we think is so important, but it also is a workbook. It is a call to action for cities or specific precincts or whatever that may have, like you said, an internal or external based on homophobia that then could be hopefully discussed and educated on so that we can kind of catch up after that, not be 20 years behind,
Right. Well, in this new edition, that was one of the real goals for it, was to make it appealing for a police chief or a sheriff or for law enforcement trainers to be able to give them the material to be able to take into their departments or their training academies without having to try to research it and create it themselves. So we added content about LGBT-related law enforcement history. So there's a chapter on that. There's a chapter on how to understand sexual orientation and gender identity, as well as a whole slew of stories from some pretty incredible officers from around the country. So we're hoping that it's going to be something that chiefs will find helpful in how to create an inclusive workplace in their own departments, and then how to better understand how to serve the LGBT community externally, no matter where they are, small town or big city.
I was just and to follow up on that, I was going to ask, and maybe this is naive in thinking for me, but now, is the homophobia or the harassment, does it exist where I think it would exist in places or states that really aren't great with LGBT rights in general? Or do problems like this exist in a New York City, in a San Francisco, in a West Hollywood sheriff station? I mean, do these problems, are they equally distributed, I guess I would ask?
Well, I would, if you asked me that question 5 years ago, I would say it was probably equally distributed. We've really come a long way, and you all are in LA, and you cited the LA Sheriff's Office. They're really, I would consider them to be a leader today. Now, does that mean that there is no discrimination that takes place in their department? I don't know for sure, but I've heard anecdotally that, yeah, there's still rubs that take place, but they've done a lot. They've incorporated training, and it's made a huge difference within their rank and file, and they have a good number of out LGBT officers. But the majority of officers, and I'll use California as an example, have less than 25 officers in their whole department. And so the chances are that there may be one here and there who identifies LGBT or T, but if they're not out, then they may be being prohibited from coming out because of the environment inside the department. So it's still, I'm going to say it's still widespread, it's still pervasive. But there are so many departments, and many of them are very, very small, whether it's in California or in the middle of Kansas, that hostility and homophobia still exists.
That's unfortunate. I mean, you think about that, and we have some friends who are in forces in different states across the country, and they basically reiterate what you said. It's been a struggle for them either, on the street or when they're trying to advance their careers. That is still a fear, and that's why we think this is such a valuable tool. I love that kind of like educational aspect of it as well, because it permeates beyond just the storytelling. It really encourages the education and the discussion. And my question is, do you think that in the last few years, with the advancement of some rights and the laws being affirmed, particularly in marriage, and now we're talking about all kinds of different laws, for equality, that will also help, hand in hand, understand that the protection of LGBT people, either as employees on the force or either as those who need protection in everyday life, becomes more pervasive?
Well, I think everything helps, and certainly a good legal foundation is really important. But I've always said that laws give us really the only ability to deal with the offenders after the offense has already happened. I think there's a big difference between experiencing legal equality, which we have a great amount of in this state, in California, but living equality is something very different.
Yeah.
So we can have all the laws in the world out there, but if employees aren't treating each other respectfully, or if they are subtly discriminating against them, then those laws don't really matter. We've got to be able to change the hearts and minds of folks. And as I've said, and many of my friends and family have said, the way to do that is by telling our stories and by being out. And so in that way, I hope this book will come out for people in the workplace and draw attention to the fact that there are already lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender members of the profession within the rank and file.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Greg Moralia. His book is Coming Out From Behind the Badge. It has a new edition out. You can find it at comingoutfrombehindthebadge.com. Greg, I wanted to ask, and maybe this opens a bigger can of worms, but I was curious to your feedback of, obviously in the last year or so, we have seen a lot of issues with law enforcement and race.
Right.
Can you talk about maybe the juxtaposition of LGBT rights and race? And obviously, we've had racial issues with police officers for decades, and obviously we've probably had a lot of LGBT issues, but they've been more maybe behind the scenes and closeted. But what are your thoughts on the juxtaposition of those two things?
Well, I really think that there is a lot in common there, and it's a very, very complex issue. There's a lot of history, but at the core of that history is a lack of trust. So if you go back and you look at history, if you look at the civil rights movement in the 60s and then into the early 90s, post-Rodney King, what LAPD experienced and agencies all over this country experienced was the realization that the public doesn't trust them. So we engaged in this relationship-building campaign. We call it community policing, which is a very old but very effective and very good way of policing, where you build relationships with people in the community and you build that trust. My own personal feeling is that if you boil all of the different things that have happened in this country with law enforcement and race, and you boil it right down, at the core of it is a lack of trust, a lack of faith in the decisions that officers are making. Now, are there officers that are making bad decisions out there? Yes, I think there are. But that's nothing new. That's happened throughout history. And because we employ human beings, that will continue to happen. But we have to have a relationship between law enforcement and the community so that people have some faith that when an officer speaks and says, this is what happened, people will have confidence in that. And if a mistake is made, then an admission that a mistake is made, and we move forward with how to fix that in the future. I really think the same thing is true with LGBT folks. We had a very similar history in terms of other groups where law enforcement came in, there were beatings, there were arrests, there was harassment. Look at Stonewall, the history of our Pride celebrations today. That started with a conflict with law enforcement. And so it's taken years to try to build that back, and we still have a long way to go.
I'll tell you, it's great to see every year Paul and I go to multiple Pride events. We do a lot of them in California, and it's always great when we walk into the festival and see a table set up by either LAPD or LA Sheriff's Department, you know, actively recruiting LGBT officers. Is that something you guys are that you would like to see, obviously, more pervasive around the country?
Absolutely. You know, in the Bay Area here, San Francisco PD is the best example of exactly what you just said. Mm. Every year in the Pride Parade, the San Francisco Police Department's LGBT Pride Alliance contingent is led by the chief of police and his entire command staff. And so you'll see anywhere from 50 to 150 officers and their partners, husbands and wives, marching with them in uniform, making a very visible statement that we're here and we're supportive in terms of law enforcement. And the crowd goes crazy. You know, Tony, my husband, and I march with them almost every year with law enforcement officers from around the Bay Area. And that's the kind of activity that builds trust.
Wow. This has been a very enlightening interview. I grew up in with a grandfather who rose in the ranks of the police department in Newark, New Jersey, and it's so great. I always wonder what he would think of today. He's no longer with us, but Greg, this has been fascinating. And how can people listen to you if they want to listen to your show?
Well, you can go to krcb.org or outbeatnews.com. And all of our shows are archived. If they search, they're going to find some interviews with you, too. It's been great having you on all the time, of course. But we're on Sunday nights. So listen to you Sunday mornings at 10, and then tune in to KRCB Outbeat Radio Sunday nights at 8 p.m.
I love it. Coming out from behindthebadge.com. There you can go and get Greg's second edition of his book. Greg, thanks so much for joining us today.
What a pleasure.
Jeff and Paul, thank you so much. It's always great to talk to you guys.
Thank you.
Fascinating.
It's awesome.
Really, really great.
You know, and it just goes to show you, like, what you can do when you a huge part of changing the world to be a better place is understanding who you are and accepting that 100%, right? Is coming out, and we always say it, tell your stories. But look what's happened here. Simply telling stories. That was the initial response, one right. person. And now look what's happening. This could be a major movement to help educate and
I love it.
It may save lives. I mean, that's how it could really make that
and
impression.
We need these type of books and these type of training programs in multiple professions.
Yes.
But this is a great step for law enforcement.
Yeah,
so
Greg,
do you want to introduce story number five? Because I know we had a good laugh.